Welcome to Being the Church, a podcast from North Star Church in Blacksburg, Virginia. The goal of this podcast is to help our church family grow as disciples of Jesus who model love, humility, obedience to God, and use their influence to share the gospel and make disciples themselves. We hope this resource helps you learn how to not just go to church, but to be the church. Today, our pastoral staff sits down for a conversation surrounding our recent series on giving, Generous God, Generous People, and how God uses giving as a discipline to impact our hearts and grow our own faith and trust in Him. Thanks for listening, and we hope this conversation is an encouragement to you. Welcome, everyone, again to the inaugural episode of the Being the Church podcast. My name is Matt Simpson, associate pastor here at North Star. I am joined by Jeff Noble, our lead pastor at North Star. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, everybody. Glad to be here.
And Sean Couch, our executive pastor here at North Star Church. Hi, Sean.
Hi, everybody.
We're excited to kick this off and talk a little bit about our series we just wrapped up, Generous God, Generous People, that we just did over the past 3 weeks over giving, generosity, things like that. And we're just excited to kind of hear some of the maybe cut content or behind-the-scenes thoughts that each of us had as we're both preparing and preaching through the series. Jeff had the opportunity to just kind of listen and not necessarily have to teach any of it. So I throw it out to you guys. What are some of your takeaways from the series we just completed about a week and a half ago?
You know, one of the things that jumped out to me, the very first fight Carol and I got in when we were married was over giving. And I was a debt monster when we got married, and Carolyn was a tithing monster. And so I remember having this discussion about, Carolyn says, no, we're going to give. And I was like, I've added it all up. If we give, we don't have enough money at the end of the month.
Yeah.
And so that first month that we were married, I wrote the tithe check, and I wrote it smugly, thinking, we'll just see how this works out. Ha, ha, ha. At the end of the month, we had had enough. And I was like, oh, gosh. Well, it's not going to happen again. Anyway, fast forward, and lo and behold, by the end of like 6 months, God had completely provided for us. And then the serendipitous nature of it all is that Carolyn inherited a trust fund from her grandfather when she turned 21, and we were able to pay off all of our debt. And so it was a very vivid lesson for us, is that when you put God first in your resources and your giving, not that He always blesses you materially or financially, but for us, our experience was that He provides above and beyond what you could imagine.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I think for me, one of the things is I was privileged to grow up in a family that did prioritize giving and was faithful to give. And so that was modeled for me from pretty early on. And it's something that we started early in our marriage. But it's easy for me to see giving as a duty, and just remembering kind of even just the whole idea of being joyful in this, reflecting on God's generosity and kind of the overflow, the abundance side of it, just reminded me to make it more than just a duty and to make it where it's actually something that we do joyfully and actually enjoy doing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would agree with all that. It's personally been was challenging, you know, even preparing messages. Sometimes people think when you prepare a message that you figured it out, you know, you got it. So now you're going to, you know, in your divine wisdom, going to impart that to other people. But as I was going through some of the passages and what scripture teaches about giving, it was kind of a gut punch to me in a couple of levels. I think something Sean said in the second message of the series, just about the sacrificial nature of the giving from the Corinthians and how they didn't have anything, but they still gave. And if they looked at their budget, they couldn't afford to give, you know, if they were actually going to be good stewards, as some people would call it. It's like, yeah, we can't afford to, but they did anyway. And not just they did, they were joyful in doing it. Like, it was their joy to be able to give sacrificially. So that was awesome. You, of course, can go back and if you missed any of the messages, you can go back on the rest of our podcast and check that out. And we'd really encourage you to do that. A couple of questions, though, that I'm going to throw out to you guys just about the series, a little bit, digging in a little bit deeper. We talk about tithe, and tithe just means the tenth, you know, in the Old Testament, it's talked about the tenth. And so we know that that's mentioned in the Old Testament, different various places, but it's not explicitly mentioned in the New Testament. But we've kind of developed this idea of we give a tenth of what we get. So how do we connect then the Old Testament and the New Testament perspectives on giving? Because some people would say, well, it's not in the New Testament, so why do we still tithe? Why should we do it?
So a couple of thoughts about that. One of the things is the pattern for giving the tenth predates the law. So the first example we see of that is Abraham back in Genesis. After he had this war that he fought and had all the spoils of war, he gave a tenth of that to Melchizedek, who was a priest. And so we've got this picture from even before the law is given of God's people giving a tenth. So there's a pattern that's established there. It is in the New Testament, like I mentioned in my message, that in Matthew 23, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and is like, yeah, you should tithe. That's actually a good thing. By the way, we had a church member who came up to me. He grows mint and told me that he's been trying to remember to bring a tenth of his mint to the storehouse so that we'd be able to have it, but he keeps forgetting it. So people were at least listening. But Jesus kind of affirmed that tithing was a good thing. And anytime we think about those Old Testament commands and laws, the standard of grace that God gives us is higher than the standard of the law. Because, you know, you go back to the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus says, you've heard that it was said this, but I say this. And in every one of those instances, he's raising the bar. And so for us, I think the tenth, while it's not specifically mandated in the New Testament, the pattern is established throughout Scripture. It's affirmed by Jesus. And again, that's raised even by the way that he teaches things.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I think I would completely affirm that. And I would... One of the only quotes we have of Jesus outside of the Gospels in Acts 20:35, it's recorded that they reported the Lord said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Mm. And so it's this principle of like, how much do you want to be blessed? Mm. Not necessarily financially, but just how much do you want God to favor you? And so when we demonstrate a willingness to offer our best to the Lord and offer a portion of that to the Lord, it's like, a tenth is probably where we should start and start testing God in a way of saying, okay, Lord, I want to continue growing in my giving. How are you going to respond as I demonstrate that you have lordship over all that I have?
Yeah.
So it becomes kind of an adventure of faith when you start practicing giving.
Yeah, I would jump off that and just say that, you know, when we think about the tenth in the Old Testament, I mean, that's not all that the children of Israel were supposed to give. It's not all the Israelites were supposed to give. There was offerings. There was other gifts that they were supposed to give and do things. So it definitely wasn't just, hey, I give a tenth of whatever resource I have and that's it. And the New Testament, actually, if we read it kind of holistically, it doesn't really let us off the hook. It kind of adds more on. It like dumps more on. It says, hey, yeah, you've heard it said this, like Sean, you just mentioned, but actually like your heart should be one that is postured toward generosity. And yeah, Jeff, like you said, the idea of the more margin you allow in your life for God to shower blessing on you, the more you're going to be able to visibly see that and be able to experience it. So that's great. So why would it be significant? We talked about time, talent, treasures during the series, which I think is a decent way to kind of summarize some of our resources. But sometimes people will say, well, why do I need to give financially? Why is it significant to actually give my money? I mean, I have my time. Some people even say things like, I'm tithing my time or I'm tithing my talents or whatever other resources. Why is it important to give financially, though? What is it about money that we see as being important?
Now, I look at Scripture when there's this caution that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's a significant check for my spirit that if I choose not to give proportionally, what is that demonstrating about where my heart is? And even like when I do premarital counseling, when I come to the financial segment with couples, it's very typical for a couple to say, here's our paychecks. We add it all up. We know we need car payments. We need to have mortgage payment. We need to budget for insurance, budget for that, budget for this. And they do all that. And then they start squeezing down to the very end and say, oh, yeah, we should give. And really and truly, when you consider giving as your last budgeted item on an income, it reveals a lot about where your priorities are. It really should be the first, and you should figure out what do we need to do without as we grow into our budget.
Mm, yeah.
With that idea, there, you know, we're the love of money being the root of all kinds of evil. That money and heart connection shows up multiple times, especially like in Matthew 6, when Jesus is talking about where your treasure is, that your heart is also, and all these kind of things. So there's a really clear connection in Scripture between the way that I use my money and where my heart is and what my trust in the Lord is. And so the other reality that we kind of need to get around is the fact that God just tells us to. And sometimes we don't like that. It's like, I want to know why, and just because it's not a good enough reason. But I mean, the reality is, like, yeah, God says we're supposed to give. So that's just part of it.
Yeah, there's something about money, it feels like, in Scripture. It's like a unique thing. Like, it doesn't say that the time is the root of all evil, you know, yeah. or talent, even though we know it can be, you know, arrogance mm-hmm. or whatever. But there's something about money and just the connection between money and our heart that really does seem unique and significant within Scripture. And so I often find that even in my own heart or in other people, when I have a conversation, it's kind of like we rationalize not having to give money because we don't want to give money, you know. And I think that it is important just to consider the reality that the work of the Lord does kind of take money to do. You know, it's important to give, and it's important to give generously in a way that affirms this is the Lord working. And also, it also is a benefit to you yourself to be able to work on your own heart and whether you've truly surrendered to the Lord or not. The last question, kind of transitioning a little bit to talking about our summer series, which is going to be Living the Good Life, that we started just this last Sunday. Giving is one of the spiritual disciplines. It is on most lists anyway of the spiritual disciplines. And because, like the other spiritual disciplines, it does change kind of our heart and behavior, as we just mentioned a little bit. So talk about the discipline of giving a little bit. How does it impact our hearts and behavior specifically, drilling down even a little bit more? And, you know, Jeff, even if you want to give a little bit of a preview of how it's going to tie into the rest of our summer series, you can do that if you'd like to.
I'll go first and let Jeff back clean up on that one. For me, one of the things about giving is it does strengthen my trust and dependence, just like you were sharing, Jeff, in your story about you and Carolyn early in your marriage. You know, as you give, and especially as you give more generously, you hit the point where it's like, man, I genuinely can't make it unless God comes through. And that's what the Macedonians were doing in 2 Corinthians 8. They were giving to a point that it was ludicrous, the amount that they were giving, given their situation. And so that is just a great way to strengthen faith by stepping out in that. And the other thing that I would be remiss if I didn't say is it's also fun. You know, especially when you see, like, if you gave to the recent trips that Jeff was on with the Istanbul and Cyprus team, you know, if you gave to support that and then you watch the report back video on Sunday and know that you had a part in that, that because of what you gave, you were able to be a part of those that were going and sharing the gospel with folks who wouldn't hear it otherwise. That's fun. You hear about needs that are being met and the freedom that comes from recognizing that this isn't my stuff. This is God's stuff and he's going to take care of it. That's one of the things that Jeff has been coaching me on personally as we've been working through is when we run into a financial situation or a struggle of some kind, like, is this something you think you've got to fix or is it Jesus's problem to fix? And when I recognize that everything I have is Jesus's and he's just entrusted me with it, then that means it's Jesus's problem to resolve. Now, I have to be a good steward. I have to be wise and use the time, talent, treasure as he's called me to. But ultimately, it puts me in a unique place to get excited about what God's going to do.
For me, it's very personal because over the year, I just read Psalm 105, which is like this litany of here's all God did for the nation of Israel. He did this, he did this, he led us out of slavery, he marched us to the wilderness, he provided food, he provided meat, he provided water, over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And it challenged me to write my own Psalm 105. It's like I'm thinking about that. But like Carol and I can look back and like there were times like when I resigned as a campus minister and helped start a church in Arkansas. I had to start a graphic design company just to make ends meet. And there were times there was more month at the end of our money. And literally, we would open our mailbox on occasion, and there was an envelope with cash that we have no idea where it came from, but it was always seemed to be the exact amount that we needed. And we always have just called it our miracles in the mailbox. We had a minivan at one point. We were driving to see some of Carolyn's family in Texas, went through a bad hailstorm, pockmarked it all over, took it into the insurance agent and said, well, we can give you a check for it, but it's going to cost more to actually repair it than it would be. So we drove it with pockmarks, but we came to this point because Carolyn was on Cobra health insurance at the time because we were transitioning. We're paying like $1,300 a month just for her health insurance. And I think we needed $2,100. And we were like, where in the world? And out of the blue, we got a check in the mail from State Farm for $2,100.
Yeah.
And so you look at God's track record of faithfulness, and it just increases our confidence that he will provide in any and every situation, even when we don't know how he's going to do it.
Yeah.
And so it really does change your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we talk about the heart a lot, and because that's obviously what the Lord wants, is he wants our heart. He doesn't need our money, you know, but he does want our heart. And I think that it is important to see the disciplines as framing, you know, the reality that as we do these things and as we are obedient to what the Lord's called us to do daily, like our hearts do begin to change. And it also, we get to see and have an awareness of God working, you know, in, even in things like you shared, Jeff, which is amazing, you know, amazing testimony of God's favor and faithfulness. And I think, you know, all of us have stories like that. We've all been through some really tough times, mm-hmm. but the Lord's never let us down. And, you know, you want faith, well, you got to be in situations where you're going to need some, you know, mm-hmm. like, and sometimes we are reticent maybe to put ourselves in those mm-hmm. situations. So yeah, no, I appreciate you sharing that. That's great. That's about all the time we have for today. I appreciate you guys taking a few minutes to come and chat. It's been fun. We hope to do it again. If you enjoyed this, just let us know. We're going to probably try to keep doing this on somewhat of a regular basis. But we do hope it's been encouraging to you if you've just taken a few minutes out of your day to drill down a little bit more on some of the stuff that we're talking about around North Star. We hope it does encourage you and helps you continue to grow in your walk with the Lord and faithfulness.
We hope this time has been an encouragement and a help to you in your own walk with the Lord. If it was, maybe consider sharing this podcast with someone you know and let us know you enjoyed it by leaving a rating and maybe even a comment. That'll help us gauge the helpfulness of our content and what might be encouraging to our church family in the future. Thanks so much for listening. If you're interested in learning more about North Star Church, head over to northstarfamily.org for all the information and to contact us if you'd like to do that. We hope the Lord blesses you as you endeavor to serve Him.